May my words be in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now in this reading, Luke paints for us a wonderful image. This is a well-known Bible story. It's one which I certainly remember vividly from my own Sunday school days. Maybe you do too. In this reading, we're immersed in a spectacular scene. You might want to just imagine it for a minute. Jesus is preaching at the edge of Lake Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee. It's a vast lake with a rough circumference of about 35 miles. No doubt the sun is shining, and fishermen are washing their nets after a hard night's work. Huge crowds fill the shoreline as they listen to Jesus speak. The acoustics would have made this an excellent auditorium for the word of God to be delivered. But Jesus is not just a man of words. He also demonstrated his message time and time again throughout the Gospels. And he demonstrated it in a way that people could understand. In today's reading, we hear about an encounter between Jesus and Simon, known later as Peter. He's a fisherman, and he's probably at this point doubting his ability in that field after the fruitless result of the previous night's labour. Now, Simon had, before this day, already seen Jesus in action. If we flick back to Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus went to Simon's house. He went into his home and healed his mother-in-law. And Jesus had by this point become somewhat of a household name. We're told that news of his preaching and his healing had spread throughout every village in the entire region. So Peter knew a bit about Jesus. Maybe that's why on this occasion in Simon Peter's boat, Simon addresses Jesus as Master. He's confirming his belief in Jesus as someone with authority. So, Simon has seen what Jesus can do. He knows about Jesus. So when Jesus asks Simon to go out into deeper water and to drop down his nets, even though Simon's thinking that there will probably be little point, his knowledge of Jesus gives him some faith to tentatively go out there and do what he's asked to do. And then, the huge catch that changes everything for Simon. As the fish are hauled in, so many that the boat's in danger of sinking, the penny drops. In that moment, Simon experiences the reality of Jesus' presence, of God's abundant, unconditional love. In that moment, he feels the grace of God and knows that he is loved just as he is. And that's too much for Simon to bear. He sees his true self, he's exposed, and he declares that he's a sinner. He doesn't feel worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. So he tells Jesus to leave him. But far from leaving him, Jesus invites him to be part of his mission, to be fishers of men. This episode in the life of Simon converts him from being someone who knows about Jesus to someone who knows Jesus. And the experience leaves him in no doubt at all that all he can do is follow and help in Jesus' mission to evangelise and help others to come to know Jesus. That is, after all, the Great Commission, what we as Christians are called to do. We're called to be fishers of men, to go out and to evangelise. But I wonder what images come to your mind when you hear the word evangelism or conversion. It can be quite controversial. Maybe, like many people, you think back to the 1980s and 90s when the world's understanding of evangelism was damaged massively. It was damaged by people with big egos and ever-expanding bank accounts. It was damaged by people who manipulated vulnerable people and with hoax healings. I remember years ago seeing an episode of Room 101. Do you know that programme? It's a TV programme where people are allowed to choose things that they just cannot bear to go into Room 101. Phil Collins was in the choosing chair on this occasion, and he chose TV evangelists. Not surprising, as his hit song, Jesus, He Knows Me, was based on the topic, highlighting the horrific practices of some disreputable people. People who were riding the quest of a wave for their own gain. As much as they claim to know Jesus, I cannot help but think that these people did not know Jesus at all. Although, of course, that is between them and God. But we do know for sure that their evangelism exploits were destructive to the worldwide body of the church. So what can we learn from this? What should evangelism look like? How can we be fishers of men? Well, the Bible would be a good place to start, because there are one or two amazing evangelists in there. In Corinthians, the reading we heard today that Barbara read, we heard from Paul the Apostle and evangelist extraordinaire. And although he admits that he works hard for God, he also says that he's not worthy even to be an apostle because of his past. And that whatever success he has now is not because of his own hard work, but it's by God's grace working through him. This attitude of humility and service is a far cry away from some of the arrogant, greedy, self-centered, so-called evangelists of recent decades. Paul realised something really important. He realised that it's not an encounter with us as ministers, with us as Christians, with us people. It's not an encounter with us that will change the heart of a person. But it's an encounter with the risen Christ, with Jesus. And it's only God's grace working through the Holy Spirit that can lead to a personal encounter with Jesus. It's not something that can be bought or manipulated through emotional exploitation. We do as a church, however, have an important role to help prepare the way. It is our job to help people to know about Jesus. Just as Simon knew about Jesus before he really came to know Jesus. We can, as a church, offer good teaching, and if the right opportunity arises, we might feel that we, as individuals, want to share our faith and talk about our faith and how it impacts our lives with other people. But not everyone's comfortable with that. Don't worry if you're not. Because, as I said earlier, Jesus did as much demonstrating as he did speaking. And the impact of living by example to demonstrate God's love in the world should not be underestimated. Then when people know a bit about Jesus, maybe like Simon, they might have the faith to tentatively follow him into deeper water. And when their heart is ready, we can be sure that the Holy Spirit will get to work. And isn't that a reassuring thing for us? It's not in our strength. It's not what we do at this point to convert people. We don't convert people. That's the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We help people to know about Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings people to know Jesus. And who knows how and when the seeds of good evangelism will be watered by the Holy Spirit? Who knows how God is working at this very moment in the lives of people who we here may have deliberately or inadvertently inspired through sharing or demonstrating our own faith, and the fact that we not only know about Jesus, but we really do know Jesus. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can open up your word and that we can read such rich accounts of people that have gone before us to go out and share your love and to share your word in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that these people are just normal, everyday people. They're people like us here, and that you use, Lord, all people are called to this mission, and you can use us all. When we turn our hearts to you, Lord, you will guide us, you will give us the strength, you will inspire us to do your will. And we thank you, Lord, that then we can hand over to you and let your Spirit do the rest, and we can be assured of that. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.